Well, on page 14 of the manual, we're shifting over to a different section, the final section here, and we're going to talk about some of the changes in the Book of Mormon. I think when I was a Latter-day Saint, this section bothered me more than the other section, the other issues, because I had been taught from the earliest I could remember when I was a Latter-day Saint, I had been taught that the Book of Mormon was, what Joseph Smith called it, the most correct book. I was taught that the Bible was Scripture, but it had been changed so much through the years that we only believe it as far as it's translated correctly, but God loved us so much He gave us this book that was translated by the gift and power of God, and that it hadn't been changed like the Bible had. Now, let me say that after leaving the Mormon Church, you know, I've spent several years studying Greek and Hebrew in a professional setting. And while I'm no Greek scholar or Hebrew scholar, I can sit down with the lexicons, with the tools, and I can translate the Bible for myself. And I found that the Bible has not been mistranslated. It's the Book of Mormon that has the problems. While Joseph Smith said it was the most correct book, I later learned that the Book of Mormon has been changed in over 4,000 places since it was first written in the year 1830. In fact, one critic said, rather than the most correct book, maybe we should call it the most corrected book. Over 4,000 changes since it was first written. Now, I'm not talking about punctuation. I'm not talking about periods, commas, or the addition of verse numbers. 4,000 word changes in the Book of Mormon. Now, the Mormon Church would have us believe that that's not the case. On page 14 of your manual, you're looking at a tract that we picked up at the Mormons from the Los Angeles Temple Visitor Center. The Mormon Church produced this tract. We pick up a copy of it. And what it is, the tract is basically 30 reasons why you couldn't write a book like the Book of Mormon. You know, you might have a critic say this. A non-Mormon might say, oh, I could make up a new scripture. I could call it the Book of Walker. And I could get people to believe this was scripture. I could write a book like this. What this tract addresses that and says, no, you can't. The average person could never write a book like the Book of Mormon to match what Joseph Smith did when he brought forth this book. You must have 30 miracles take place. Now, there's problems with all 30 of their miracles, but for the sake of time, we're only going to look at number 6. See, if you were going to copy Joseph Smith and do what Joseph Smith did in bringing forth your scripture, here's what you'd have to do. Number 6, other than a few grammatical corrections, you must have no changes in the text. The first edition, as you dictate it to your secretary, must stand forever. Now, the writer of this tract would have us believe that there are no changes in the Book of Mormon, that the first edition has stood forever, with the possible exception of a few grammatical changes. Now, help me. I know different words have different meanings for people. Help me for a moment to find the word few. Few would be 100. Would you go that high? I think the dictionary would say 3 to 4, maybe. Okay, you might stretch it to a dozen, 12. Could you say a few would be 800 or 900? How about 1,000? We're talking about 4,000 changes. Now, the changes in the Book of Mormon are not just grammatical. I'm going to show you some examples of historical and doctrinal changes in the Book of Mormon. Now, I will admit to you this. The majority of the changes in the Book of Mormon are grammatical in nature. But even the grammatical changes create a problem. Now, you don't have this in your notes, but I want to give you kind of the feeling of the original Book of Mormon for just a moment. I want to tell you how you can get a Book of Mormon, an original Book of Mormon as well. Original Book of Mormons are very rare. For a couple of years, our ministry, Watchman Fellowship, owned an original 1830 Book of Mormon. They are worth anywhere between $12,000, $15,000, maybe as much as $25,000, $30,000, depending on the what kind of condition they're in. There were only 6,000 originally printed by the Grandin Printing Company in Palmyra, New York, and so they're very scarce, very rare. So the average Mormon for years didn't have access to an original 1830 Book of Mormon. What's happened is there's several ways you can get access to it today, however. Our ministry offers a book published by Gerald and Sandra Tanner that talks about the title of the book is 3,914 Changes in the Book of Mormon. And what this book does, it basically is a photocopy of every page of the original Book of Mormon with all the changes marked up until 1964. Now, there were about 200 changes that took place during the 1981 edition, which would push the total over 4,000. But all the changes are marked. Now, you can order that from our ministry. You can visit our website and get a copy of that sent to you. However, sometimes Mormons would be reluctant to do that because Gerald and Sandra Tanner are ex-Mormons. Or if they order it from Watchman Fellowship, we're an apostate organization. You know, we are anti-Mormons. So there's a way you can actually get it from the Mormons themselves. And basically, the way I would recommend on that is that there's a man named Sam Weller. Sam Weller is a bookstore owner, and he's a rare book dealer in Salt Lake City, and he happens to be a member of the Mormon Church. And he owns the book Zion's Bookstore in downtown Salt Lake City. And you can get a copy of the original Book of Mormon that was actually produced by the Mormon Church from him. In 1980, the Mormon Church did a 150-year anniversary edition of the original 1830 Book of Mormon. They published every page of the original Book of Mormon photomechanically in a reproduction produced by the Mormon Church itself. Now, those books are currently out of print, but you can get on a waiting list to get that. In fact, I just called right before class this evening. I called Zion's Bookstore. You can call them at area code 800-333-7269. I called the number, and I told them I wanted this 150-year anniversary edition of the original 1830 Book of Mormon. I was told that they currently don't have any, but they put my name on a waiting list. Now, this has happened to me in the past, and you might pay anywhere between $25 to maybe $60 or $70. It's been a couple of years since I've ordered one, but it depends on how many they have in stock. But it's possible for a Mormon to get an original 1830 Book of Mormon from one of those sources. Now, when you get one, when you read it, you're going to find that in many pages in the Book of Mormon, it is an English teacher's nightmare. Now, sometimes Mormons will ask you, they'll give you a Book of Mormon, ask you to read about it, and they'll ask you this. They'll say, how could a 14-year-old boy have written this book? Well, Joseph Smith was not 14 when the Book of Mormon came out. He was 25 when the Book of Mormon came out. And when you read the original Book of Mormon and you see all the grammatical problems, I could see how a 25-year-old young man without a high school education could have done something like this. But I want to give you an idea of some of the grammar in the original Book of Mormon, and then I'm going to explain to you why I think it's significant, why it's important. First of all, in the original 1830 Book of Mormon, there's problems with subject-verb agreement. Subject-verb agreement is when you have a plural subject and a singular verb, or vice versa. Here's from the original Book of Mormon. What's the problem with this verse? This is from page 15 of the original Book of Mormon. Quote, Adam and Eve, which was our first parents. Of course, it should have been Adam and Eve, which were our first parents. There's also another type of problem that occurs regularly throughout the Book of Mormon, subject-verb agreement. There's dangling participles. Another regular occurring problem is double negatives. Double negatives. Here's an example from the original Book of Mormon, page 290. Quote, they did not fight against God no more. Now, depending on how you interpret a double negative, that means they must have continued to fight against God because they didn't fight no more. And then there's an example from page 515. Here's my favorite double negative in the entire 1830 Book of Mormon. Quote, neither were there Lamanites, nor no manner of ites. They were completely out of ites of every variety, or they had plenty, depending on how you would translate a double negative. And then there's also vocabulary problems. Does anyone know what a rent is? A rent is a tear. Okay, here's from the original Book of Mormon, from page 351. This is found in Alma 46:19. Quote, and when Moroni had said these words, he went forth among the people, waving the rent of his garment in the air, that all might see the writing which he had wrote upon the rent. You think, how can you do that? It would be invisible if you write it on a rent. How do you see that? Well, in all these places, and there's thousands of them like this, in all these places, the Mormon Church later has gone back and cleaned up the grammar and made it consistent. So when you read the modern Book of Mormon, you don't see this. Now, why this is the problem? It's a problem because of this. While the original, and by the way, I'm holding here, this is the sesquicentennial edition right here. I'm holding a copy of it right here. In the introduction, there's even a flyleaf the Mormon Church produces where they guarantee that this is an exact reproduction, every page, of the original 1830 Book of Mormon. And when you read this, again, you'll have pages with rough 19th century frontier grammar, but the phenomena is this. On some pages of the original 1830 Book of Mormon, there's beautiful Shakespearean quality grammar. And it makes you wonder, now, how did Joseph Smith do so well on this page, grammatically, when he did so poorly on the other pages? It's called plagiarism. And what you find is, my point is, the pages in the 1830 Book of Mormon that have the beautiful grammar, in some cases, can also be found virtually word-perfect in the 1611 King James Version of the Bible. In fact, we find making its way from the 1611 King James Version of the Bible into the Book of Mormon, even the italicized words, which were not in the original Greek or Hebrew, but provided by the King James translators in order to make full English sentences. So, example, the Sermon on the Mount. Example, a chapter's worth of material out of Isaiah, out of the book of Genesis. These passages come over, and they have the good grammar. It tells me that Joseph Smith was copying, because it's very easy in the original Book of Mormon to see when it's Bible material and it's Book of Mormon material. You don't find that in the new Book of Mormon because it's all uniform. However, I will give the Mormons all the grammatical changes and never raise them again if they can simply explain the historical and doctrinal changes in the Book of Mormon.